Thought Leader Thursdays are sponsored by Associated Bank. Whether you're buying, building, or refinancing a home, Associated Bank is dedicated to finding the right mortgage solution for you. Visit associatedbank.com/thoughtleadership. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Run with Danny Salazar, Senior Vice President and Relationship Manager in Commercial Banking at Associated Bank. Danny, welcome back.
Thanks, Steve. Always a pleasure.
I want to start our conversation off today on how small business are feeling about the economy. A new report says small business confidence slipped to its lowest level in more than 11 years in March. Talk to us about what's happening here. What are small businesses feeling that makes them feel so pessimistic?
You know, it's interesting. I saw the same report. And, you know, as we talk to our clients, I think many of them are still very optimistic about this year and in the future. But notwithstanding their optimism, there are some concerns. You know, I think for many business owners, they were expecting to see some slowdown in inflation, input costs starting to come down. But, you know, what they saw in the first quarter of this year was the continuation of what they've seen for a better half of the last 2 years. Input costs remain elevated. Hiring and wages continue to place pressures on the business. And so when you have both of those factors, you know, it does change their sentiments a little bit. But nevertheless, many of them are still optimistic. And you know, as a reminder, the reason why inflation and their wages costs are high are because the economy is still very sound. There's still a lot of strength out there.
25% of the business owners reported that inflation was their single most important problem in operating their business. The Federal Reserve Chair, during an appearance this week, also seemed to suggest that inflation's stubbornly high and not coming down as quickly as they would like. So it seems like inflation is like the big driver here, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, it's a byproduct of the economy. Consumer sentiments is still pretty sound, and that's driving the inflation and the Fed's response. And, you know, in response to this, you know, many business owners are still grappling with higher costs, and the way they're dealing with it is by, you know, a combination of factors. They're raising prices to offset the input costs, but they also see that as a way to drive revenue growth. In terms of wages, they're evaluating their employees. I think one way that a business can reduce higher wages is maintain your employee base, but, you know, eliminate turnover. That way you don't have to retrain, you don't have to hire recruiting or have recruiting costs. But nevertheless, as you have employees that have been with the company for a longer period, the more efficient they can be, the better acclimated they can be to their client and the process. And I think through that process, they will be a more efficient company.
Danny, the NFIB report, that's the National Federation of Independent Businesses, said that hiring plans among the small businesses that it surveyed in March were the weakest since May of 2020. We have been talking previously about how layoffs are pretty low in the economy right now, but does this perhaps signal that idea might be changing moving forward? Is there, at least among the people you talk to, plans to start laying people off, or are they just not hiring any new people?
You know, I think we're seeing a couple of items, but at the forefront, we're not seeing a big layoff or scale down of employees. If anything, business owners are consistently actively looking for talent. And part of the reason is because there is a talent war. You know, good employees are hard to find, and even more so, they're hard to attract from other businesses. And because of that, you kind of have to actively always keep your pedal on the recruiting. I'm sorry, keep your foot on the recruiting pedal, because you just never know when good candidates come on the market. But you also have to be prepared for any one employee to leave because there's a better offer or another company actively recruiting that individual. So we're not seeing a massive reduction in the workforce. If anything, it's it remains strong. If anything, they are not actively looking to fill spots that don't have an immediate need.
Mm-hmm. And then on the flip side, you find one report that says one thing and another that says another. The CBIZ Small Business Employment Index reported that small businesses increased their staffing by 23% over the last month. That would have been March for some of the hiring. And so some of the areas that we're seeing job growth among small businesses, administrative and support services, agriculture, fishing and hunting, arts, entertainment, recreation, all seeing gains. Talk to us a little about why we're seeing a difference in these two reports.
Yeah. And well, I think you kind of highlighted specifically with the mix of industries. You know, there are some areas that are seeing continued growth while others are seeing a slowdown. You highlighted office, recreation, manufacturing. Those are industries that are still seeing strong gains. And, you know, as you look at the economy, those are areas that are still performing well. Other areas where there has been some slowdown or reduced hiring include technology, wholesale distribution, finance. Those are segments of the economy that probably saw a tremendous level of growth between 21 to 23. And as those businesses have seen a slowdown or a contraction, they are not hiring as much. If anything, they are maybe right-sizing their businesses. So it really depends on the industry.
And the good news from this report is, at least for the Midwest, among the areas of the country that saw an increase in hiring, according again to the CBIZ report, about 0.25% higher here in the Midwest.
Yeah, I think that's pretty accurate to what we're seeing in our business community. You know, I've always liked our footprint, our business community, the industries we serve. We have a great transportation hub. And because of those factors, I feel like our business an industrial community is relatively stable when you compare it to both coasts. And because of that, I think you see less fluctuations in unemployment and slowdowns, contractions, growth, et cetera.
One of the areas that small business is always focused on is cybersecurity. Let's talk a little bit about what small businesses should prioritize. And where money, if they have money to spend on this, should be budgeted for. Again, cybersecurity, where are the biggest issues here?
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting. We've talked in the past about business owners focusing on technology, how they can use it to streamline their operations, where can they gain economies of scale. And as we've seen that play out through our client base, you know, one of the biggest risks to technology is that you do remove a layer of human touch points. The technology reach is broader. And because of that, threats can come from points outside of the business itself. And what I mean the business itself, inside of the four walls. And because of the risk, cybersecurity is at the top of the list of items that, you know, business owners should be mindful of. I think one of the key items, or there's various items, but I think the key item that business owners assess year in and year out is making sure that their employee base are properly trained, they're aware of cybersecurity risk, keeping a pulse or having a pulse on, you know, what are the things that are changing day in and day out, and making sure that there's a protocols for items that come up so that they don't put their employees or business at risk.
So, Danny, if you were advising a small business to focus on one area, if they had the money to do it, what would it be? Would it be to get better software? Would it be data protection or all of the above?
You know, I think in many cases, the easiest and most cost-effective approach is educating your staff, making them aware of the risks that are involved, either with just the phishing attempts, social engineering, software attacks, and you know that is a simple education and awareness that would help reduce those risks. More capital-intensive investments include technology and firewall protection services. Those I would still highly recommend, but you know in many of those cases, you can plan those over time. You can layer on certain portions of protection. And, you know, that's an item that I would focus. And then the last item is, you know, I think with everyone, it's just understanding how you can protect yourself from those risks if they were to occur. And, you know, one of the topics that we've had with clients is, you know, talking to your insurance provider. Are there cyber attack insurance coverage that would help offset any business interruption or demands that would come from a cyber attack?
You know, for a big company, there's probably an IT department that handles a lot of this knowledge. For a small business, it's a little bit different. I'm happy to hear that at least you provide some sort of guidance for small businesses. It must be like they're lost in a giant ocean.
They are. And oftentimes you don't think or imagine it that, you know, some of these items would happen to you. But we're certainly seeing a rise in these activities, especially as you have more people work from home, more reliance on technology, and certainly technology getting better with artificial intelligence. So it's always top of mind with our client discussions.
Danny, great conversation. As always, how can people get a hold of you and have a one-on-one if they want?
Thanks, Steve. Well, my phone's always available. You could reach me at 312-544-4597.
All right, Danny, we'll talk to you next time. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve.